We're speaking with Heather Upton, and she is the Art and Historic Preservation Officer for the City of Sandpoint. Heather, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me today.
And the topic today is a big whopping arts and culture grant that the city has received from the NEA and is now in a position to turn around and distribute to local groups. So tell us, what's this about?
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited about this. So this was a grant that the city acquired in 2021. It was $150,000 was awarded from the National Endowment of Arts with the American Rescue Plan funding. So $50,000 of that went to my position, being the new Arts and Historic Preservation Officer.
Brand new position the city hasn't had before.
And it's so interesting because historically, most cities don't have a position like this with a creative leading that force. And it was really important because of the new master plan adopted in 2021 with the arts. Culture and Historic Master Plan for someone to be leading that. So I think we're one of two in the state of Idaho that has that. So it's kind of a fun little fact there. So 100,000 will be went through a sub grant that I created, and it will be awarded to nonprofit organization in the city of Sandpoint. So it's this is a huge thing, and this is for all the arts organizations and programs that were impacted by COVID.
Okay, so lots of questions to follow up with here. So, how can it be used by these arts organizations?
Absolutely. Well, it's one of those unicorn moments. Being historically from the nonprofit sector, most grants are program-based, and this is purely for operating support. And so there's on the website, so if you go to the City of Sandpoint's website, you'll see you can apply, there's a program description, and there's a very clear list of things that you can use it for and things that you can't. And it's really important to follow that in order to be eligible. So in terms of the allowable costs, so this will be for salary support that's full or partial for one or more staff positions. Fees, stipends for artists, and or contractual personnel supporting day-to-day operations or programs, facility costs such as rent and utilities, and costs associated with health and safety supplies for staff and visitors. So that's like cleaning supplies, hand sanitizers, etc. And then the last thing would be marketing and promotional cost.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that this is for groups that were impacted by COVID specifically, mm-hmm. since it's part of the ARPA funding.
That's right.
How do they demonstrate that they were impacted? Do they have to like show you some kind of financials and say, look, our revenues went way down?
Well, absolutely. And so we definitely have specific documents that we're asking for, which again, you can see in the program description. But then there's going to be four different sections that we will ask the applicants to fill in. The first one is artistic excellence and artistic merit. The second is management and fiscal responsibility. The third is assessment and evaluation. And the fourth is community accessibility. So our advisory committee will be looking at the health of the nonprofit and all of those four different quadrants. And then we'll be kind of scaling according to that. So it really is based on the organization's specific needs, and it will range from $5,000 to $30,000. In terms of the funding for the organization.
Mm-hmm. So it brings up a question. you have $100,000 to distribute in this program. Let's say you get $200,000 in requests. How are you going to weigh those out? And they're all, you know, valid requests.
Absolutely. That's the hard part. So again, we have our metric that we will be going by. But, you know, we really, my biggest thing is I definitely want to make, have this grant be a huge impact for all of our nonprofits in the area. So really it's according to the impact that the organization has in the community when it comes to art programming. And also it, back to the master plan, which I love talking about. So what things do they initiate and activate that draws back to our goals in the master plan?
So it might be a good idea.
Guiding document for sure.
Might be a good idea for different art groups that haven't looked that over to become acquainted with the master
plan.
That's
exactly right. And then in the application, there's a link that takes the individual to a beautiful Keoki flip page of the master plan. And it's a really fantastic document and it's very clear. It's a wonderful roadmap. So,
okay. So what are the dates that people have to get an application in?
So it's a little bit of a tighter timeline. So we launched it on Thursday, September 15th, and it closes on the 30th.
Okay.
But I made sure that according to the information that I needed for this government grant to make the process pretty smooth. So I think people will find that it's a pretty smooth grant to apply for. And so from there, the recommendations from the committee will be going to council on the 19th.
So do you have does the city, as part of the master plan, is there an inventory of the arts and culture organizations in town?
Yes, there is actually that they identified. And it's interesting since 2021 how there's been a couple new amazing nonprofits that have popped up, arts organizations. And they had identified about 27 of them. And then they had a few, they call them like powerhouse nonprofit institutions that were here that have historically made a significant impact to the arts community.
Yeah, we have some terrific art organizations here in town, big and small.
Absolutely. Yeah. One thing that I thought was really interesting, this was one of my first projects when I came on in June to undertake, and it's become very close to me. So when we launched it on Thursday, I was beyond excited. And this takes me back to when I was in college studying art history, and there was that question of what is art, right? So I'm excited to see what the community comes forth in terms of what their art programming is. And one thing that I want to mention to think about is and consider is that an institution that would have art-related artifacts in a collection that has to do with storytelling, literature, and visual arts that relate back to the cultural heritage and cultural identity of place could qualify. So I think it's always good when we're thinking about art and to think about also, you know, heritage and history too. And so keeping that in mind in terms of who can qualify, you have to be a nonprofit.
Okay. 501c3.
Absolutely. So first thing, and then you also have to have a UEI, yes, I did say that correctly. It's such a Monday number issued by the federal system for award management. And you can get that at sam.gov if you do not have that. You have to have those two things. The other qualifier is that you have to have a valid active City of Sandpoint business license. From there, institutions of higher education can apply as well. units of state or local government. And federally recognized Indian tribal government are also eligible. So that's the eligibility status. And for those that do not qualify, I rest assured that in my new position, I will be looking for different funding opportunities to help support different programming that our amazing nonprofits are already doing.
Cool. Okay, so that is the Arts and Culture Grant that nonprofit organizations are invited to apply for, and keep an eye on that date. September 30th is the date you're looking to get those in. And then when would money be distributed and can be spent?
So, like I said, on October 19th, it's going to cancel the recommendations. And then the recipients that will be awarded will receive an email. And then from there, it's a one-time reimbursement process. And so what I will do is have a semi-annual report that they will have to report back to me. And then from that process, they will get their funds reimbursed. The period of performance is from November 1st to July 31st, July 31st of 2023.
Okay.
So they have some time.
Yeah.
And then there will be a closeout date.
So that's the process. 7 or 8 months, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Heather Upton, Art and Historic Preservation Officer, anything else you want to tell us about this particular grant before we ask another question or two on other subjects?
I think that's it. I just think this is such an exciting opportunity for our arts organization, and I love that it just supports general operations. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that everybody applies that is eligible.
How did the city come to get this grant from the NEA?
Well, one of the commission members on the arts actually brought it to Jennifer Stapleton and Linda Heiss, who was the grants administrator during that time. And she felt that it was a wonderful opportunity, and the city went ahead and went for it.
Yeah, nice. It's leveraging our local money.
Right?
Okay. Well, Heather, what else is going on with the Arts and Culture Historic Preservation? And actually, one thing I wanted to ask you about is the commission itself was combined in the last year. There was an Arts Commission and there was a Historic Preservation Commission, and the two have been combined now, and I think you have 7 or 8 members on the commission.
Nine.
Absolutely. Okay. So what was the rationale in combining them, and how's it going?
Well, it was really important through the planning of the master plan. We had identified that if we were to collaborate more and combine the commissions, we would be stronger in terms of being able to implement programming projects, diversify funding. Historically, the Arts Commission and the Historic Preservation Commission have worked together successfully with projects. An example of that would be the STCU rock boxes. And I think through that example, we knew that it would be a really powerful group. And so in 2021, they went ahead and did that.
Can I jump in? Mm-hmm. So the boxes, that's the wraps
the
we see
boxes.
On the utility boxes,
yes.
That show historic scenes and very it's a nice way to dress those up.
Definitely. It's been really fun, and the community really appreciates it too. I hear positive feedback all the time. So the commission was combined, and I believe we've had 2 meetings, if I recall. We have another one coming up. It's the 4th Tuesday of every month at 4:00. And it's going really well. We have a strong group of art and historic preservation, architect business minds. So I'm just thrilled to be working with the talent that we have on the new commission. We're having a lot of fun. We're rolling out some new projects and also continuing with some of our previous. And the Silver Box program is something that we decided to continue.
So it's a public art program, and folks have probably seen these silver boxes around. Some of them have sculptures mm-hmm. on them. Some of them don't right now. Is that...
All of them actually are open, and we're getting ready to put a call out to artists for there's three opportunities, and they receive $1,000 and they get to have their art displayed for a year out there. Mm-hmm. The art will be for sale, so it's a wonderful way to highlight our local artists and kind of have a rotating promotional opportunity mm-hmm. for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one by the post office. Mm-hmm. And I remember that this had a very interesting sculpture on it. I can't remember who did it, but it was very colorful yeah. and cool.
The chicken. that's been our most talked about.
Yeah. That's one of the things you want from your art, right? You want people talking. They're like, what is it?
Absolutely. We'll be continuing with our hugely successful historic walking tour brochure. And that's available. It's free to the community. It's been such an amazing resource. When I was at the museum, I used it all the time in terms of educating individuals. Mm-hmm. And so we're always looking for funding opportunities to be able to keep reprinting that, updating it, and then creating walks for the community and great.
That's like a guided walk, right?
It's the walk around.
And you can go by some of the historic buildings we have. We have
Absolutely.
A number here in town.
So it indicates buildings within our downtown core, and then there's also a residential walk as well.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of buildings in history, it was not long ago, it was like 6 months ago or 8 months ago, the old bell that had been on top of the old city hall, it was at Main and Second, had been gone for years, and it was discovered again.
Yes.
what's the status there? I know the bell's now, isn't it at
the museum.
It's at the museum,
yeah. In an outside exhibit until the Music Conservatory is able to raise funds to have the cupola rebuilt, and then it will be installed on that wonderful building once again. And that's probably, there's so many wonderful moments that I had at the museum, but that process was one of my favorite. And I think...
Because you were the museum director.
I was.
Yeah. That came to pass while you were there. Yeah, right.
I think, and I actually negotiated with the antique dealer that for the Music Conservatory,
where the bell was discovered.
Yes,
out in
absolutely.
The field, right? Yeah.
So that's where my salesmanship was able to come in, and being an antique dealer for years here in the community as well. And I think that I also love that that's an example of how our nonprofits can work together so successfully and support each other too. Mm-hmm. That was a collaboration between the museum and the Music Conservatory. Mm-hmm. And we just had a lot of fun with it, and it kind of made us feel like a family being able to do that together.
So historically, the old City Hall where the Music Conservatory is now had this cupola up on top, and that bell was used, they would ring it for fires, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, yep. But it was so loud that it actually would shake the whole building. And then in the 50s, they deemed it not safe to be able to
And it's a pretty
that.
Heavy thing, too.
My gosh, yeah. I can't remember how many tons, but
yeah,
it's incredible.
So, I think it's a really cool idea to put it back up there, and it'll add a really distinctive feature. When will we ring it? For what occasion would we ring that bell?
That's a wonderful question for Karen, because she has all sorts of the executive director of the Music Conservatory ideas for that. We rang it when it was delivered to the museum and installed, and I don't know. I mean, they used to ring it for curfews.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when the First World War and the Second World War had ended, it rang as well. So it's really up to the Music Conservatory
how that goes. They'll have to put out some kind of criteria.
Right.
Yeah. For somebody's birthday, they get the
I'm sure there would have to be a little bit of a sponsorship involved for that.
Okay, well, anything else, Heather Upton, that you want to tell us about art or culture or historic preservation here in Sandpoint?
Just, you know, keep an eye out for all the amazing things that we're doing to help support our community through arts, culture, and historic preservation. It's so exciting. The city's been doing so much planning, and now we're really on an implementation point. Mm-hmm. And so I know personally I'm so thrilled about all the projects that we have moving forward. So. Mm-hmm.
Exciting. All right. Well, to circle back to the start of this thing, folks that are involved in local nonprofit organizations and arts and culture, there's an opportunity to get some grant money. So yes. Go to the City of Sandpoint website, cityofsandpoint.com will get you there. And I tried on the homepage. Yes. I saw there's a blurb about it. You'd click on that and there's access to the application there.
And if anybody has any questions, I have an open door policy. They can always contact me at 208-946-2705 or at H Upton, that's H-U-P-T-O-N, at sandpointidaho.gov.
Okay. Well, Heather, thanks for taking time to talk to us today.
Thank you for letting me share.